You are saved by faith. You are saved by the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace are ye saved through faith. That was the message that from Peter time onwards, the apostles, Paul, all preached. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace you can be saved through faith. Now that was preached for 15 years, and the Holy Spirit saw that a lot of people were just taking advantage of that. It was a false grace. They didn't understand grace properly. They didn't understand faith properly. They thought faith was believing in the head. Oh, I believe. And their life did not change. And then the Holy Spirit inspired James to write the first book of the New Testament. And what was it? James says, James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. The last part of last verse of James 2. James 2, verse 26. Just like the body without breath in it is dead. That's the example he uses. James 2, 26. When a body can have 10 fingers, 2 legs, 2 eyes, 2 ears, everything is there, but the breath is gone, the man is dead. And the man is dead, is no use counting his toes and fingers. And when real living faith is gone, that means there are no works that come out of it, it's no use counting whether the doctrines are all correct. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Do you believe that He died for your sins? Do you believe He rose from the dead? Do you believe He's coming back? Do you believe that repentance and faith will save you? You believe all that. That's like counting the fingers of a dead man. Works. Faith without works is dead. If there is faith, real faith, there'll be works. And what works is he thinking of? Now remember, this is the first book of the New Testament written. And the Holy Spirit was seeing how Christendom was drifting away with a wrong understanding of grace and faith like it is today. Thinking that if I just believe in my head, everything's okay. It doesn't matter how I live. And that's why you see so many even so-called born-again Christians. If you go into their homes, it's not much better than the homes of many other non-Christians. The same amount of fighting and quarreling and yelling and calling each other names and all that type of stuff. And children who are wild and wayward just like in any other home. I see them, what's the difference? Yeah, James saw that and he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. And see how much he writes about the tongue. Listen to this, in James chapter 1. Verse 18. In the exercise of God's will, James 1:18, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we can be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. He brought us to new birth so that we'll be a demonstration of what the kingdom of God is going to be like among all of His creation. So, beloved brethren, verse 19, since you are to be like that, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This is what the Holy Spirit inspired James to write after watching Christianity for the first 15 years. I find people are not quick to hear. They're very slow to hear. They don't listen carefully. But they're very quick to speak and very quick to get angry. That's the bad tree. The definition of the bad tree is quick to speak, quick to get angry, and very slow to hear God speaking through His word. When that is reversed, then a godly man, he's quick to hear God's word, slow to speak, and slow to anger. He's very careful. There are things we should be angry with. When I see people making money in the name of religion, like Jesus went into the temple one day and he saw people making money in the name of religion, selling sheep and doves at expensive prices for the poor people who came from Galilee, who couldn't bring the sheep and doves all the way from there You can get it in Jerusalem, in the temple, but you have to pay a much higher price because of the commission. And Jesus saw these merchants making money in the name of religion. You know what he did? He didn't say, "Will you gentlemen please not do this here?" He took a whip and chased them out and saying, "My Father's house is a house of prayer." And I'll tell you, he did not lose his temper. He had a holy anger. And I believe that every true servant of God must have a holy anger when he sees people on television making money out of these poor people who sit in their congregation. And there's a lot of it going on today. Almost every single Christian television speaker. You look at the congregation there. I sometimes see it. Poor people sitting there. And this guy is swindling their money in the name of Christ. Jesus, if he comes here today, will use a whip again. In all these mega churches, I'll tell you. There is a righteous anger. But anger which is not connected with the glory of God, Jesus never had. You know, the Bible says in... I'll come back to this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26. Be angry, but don't sin. See there? That's another verse which I never heard anybody explain to me in all my life. I had to find out myself. What? It says be angry, that's a command, but don't sin in your anger. In other words, there is an anger which is without sin and there is an anger with sin. So many years ago I discovered, to use an example, when I read a word in English and I don't know the meaning of it, I take a dictionary. That's a new word for me, I've never understood it. So a dictionary and I get the meaning of the word. That's the right thing to do. That's how you learn English. When I read something in the Bible, which I don't understand, I go to my spiritual dictionary, which is the life of Jesus Christ. I look at Jesus' life, and that's a dictionary. And I find out the meaning. So here, I find a word I can't understand. Be angry, but don't sin. I can't understand it, Lord. I look at the life of Jesus, and I find out, that's what it means. When you see people making money in the name of religion, get angry at them. When you see people not allowing a poor man with a withered hand to be healed, get angry at them. What about today, when you see women being exploited and little children being molested and human trafficking going on? Get angry. If you don't get angry, something's wrong with you. But if they spit on your face, don't get angry. That's what I see in Jesus. When they call you prince of devils, don't get angry. So what do I learn from the life of the dictionary? What do I learn from the dictionary? Whenever people do something to hurt me, if I get angry, it is sinful anger. Whenever do people something to provoke me, to irritate me, and make life difficult for me in some way, or inconsiderate towards me, if I get angry, whatever the provocation, it is sin. But if it concerns the glory of God, people not preaching the whole counsel of God, people not preaching against sin, I must be angry. But what do I see among most Christians today? I see Christians sitting back and wondering at this wonderful preacher who goes on preaching so many clever things with all his fake healings. And they sit with their mouth open thinking this is a great man of God. And not at all angry that this guy is swindling poor people of their money. Where they should be angry, they're not angry. And then you see these same Christians who don't get angry at this preacher making money. Their wife does something wrong at their home, they lose their temper like anything. They are the exact opposite of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would be angry at that and he'd be not angry here. You see how so many Christians, and I'm talking about so-called born-again Christians, they're angry at the wrong thing. They have not understood that out of the mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Come back to James. He said there, now remember, this is after 15 years of Christianity, the Holy Spirit inspired James to write the first book of the New Testament. And he says something. He says here in James chapter 1, if anyone thinks himself to be, let me paraphrase it, anyone thinks himself to be a wonderful Christian, and I think many people do, but he cannot control his tongue. Here's a guy, man or a woman, who think they're wonderful Christians, but they cannot control their tongue at home or in their office, or when there's road rage on the streets, when the traffic is all piled up and somebody cuts into your lane and all that, and you cannot control your tongue. You are deceiving your own heart that you're a child of God. Your Christianity is worth zero.